Today, on the exam room.
I think people automatically assume, because this is now ultra-processed food, that automatically that means that it's bad for you. But when we actually look at the science and how it affects their health, we see that it's actually not that clear.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I'm the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the exam roomies listening in Port St. Lucie, Florida, Glendale, Arizona, and Rome, Italy. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 9 of season 8, number 608 overall. And today we are doing a deep dive into the highly controversial topic of seed oils. Are they a magical health elixir or a fast track to health problems? Well, joining me for this discussion is Dr. Roxy Becker. She is a returning guest and an expert in this field. And I gotta tell you, this is one of the most fun interviews that we have done in a while. I think that you are really, really going to enjoy Dr. Becker's energy and her humor here. So I actually call her Doc Rocks because, well, she rocks. So we're going to be exploring the science behind seed oils, including the distinction between these seed oils and vegetable oils, such as avocado and coconut oil. And Dr. Becker, she is also going to clarify the misconceptions about peanut oil being a seed oil and discuss why many people label seed oils as inflammatory. Plus, we're going to be examining research surrounding oils like canola and safflower and sunflower, revealing that, get ready for this, they may not be quite as harmful as some claim. In fact, some studies suggest that they could even have beneficial effects, but that does come with a caveat. So stay tuned for that. And then we're going to get into the influence of social media and the public's perception and the importance of relying on scientific evidence rather than popular opinion when it comes to your health. So whether you're a fan of seed oils or skeptical about their health effects, this episode promises to provide you, my friend, with valuable insights into this hot topic. So let's get into it. Definitely one of the funniest episodes that we have done in a while, with a ton of health IQ raising knowledge along the way. It is a deep dive with Doc Rocks and seed oils. What does the science show, and what is the science you need to know? On the exam room. Welcome back.
Thanks, Chuck. Always so good to be here. And I love the little rhyme you did in the beginning as well. I feel like your intros just keep getting better.
Thank you. I will try to give you one that's on the level of Dr. Will Bolsowitz when I bring him on. Those are like the cream of the crop. So if that's what you want me to shoot for, that's what we're going to go to.
All right. I look forward to it. All right. And I'm expecting it now.
All right. Let me work the noodle here. But let's talk about seed oils. I mean, what in the world? I never thought growing up that something could be as controversial as politics, but in the nutrition community, the hot button issue is not who's gonna be in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it's seed oils, for goodness sakes. First of all, what is a seed oil? What makes it different from another type of oil?
Great question, and you're so right. This is the most polarizing issue online at the moment, the most controversial, the most attention grabbing. And so I'm so glad we're talking about it and we're actually looking at the science, because there's so much misinformation about seed oils at the moment. So seed oils are kind of self-explanatory. They come from the seeds of plants. So if you're thinking about sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, canola is from rape seeds, right? We don't like to call them rape seeds though, so we're gonna stick with canola, not the best name. But anything that comes from a seed and the oil is extracted, that's a seed oil. Now, the ones that confuse people a little bit are avocado oil, right? Avocado oil is not a seed oil. It's a vegetable oil because you're actually getting the oil from the pulp of the fruit. That green fleshy part that we eat, that's where avocado oil comes from. Similarly, palm oil, coconut oil, those are all getting extracted from the flesh or the pulp of the fruit. So that's not a seed oil.
Gotcha.
The other one that confuses people, and this blew my mind a little bit, I didn't know this. Peanut oil is a seed oil because peanuts are
a seed.
No, they're legumes.
Oh.
They're part of the pea family.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even know that. So peanut oil comes from the seeds of the peanut plant. So technically it's classified as a seed oil, and then olives, coconut, avocado, all of those are just vegetable oils, but they're not seed oils.
Quick aside then, and this is a quick little detour just to appease my own curiosity. Then I guess because the peanut is not a nut, that's why it's like you can't even compare it to other nuts, nutritionally speaking,
because yeah.
it's like a black bean versus an almond, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Very interesting.
Interesting. But anyway, a lot of the seeds that you've mentioned are kind of like a lot of people would consider them to be healthy, at least in moderation. Sunflower mm-hmm. seeds, nothing really wrong with those. So what makes the oil part so, I don't know, not good for you?
Right. I think people automatically assume, because this is now a processed food, an ultra processed food, right? You've extracted this oil, you've taken away the fiber, that automatically that means that it's bad for you. Oils are also very calorically dense, so again, they often get demonized for that. But when we actually look at the science and how these seed oils affect people and how it affects their health, we see that it's actually not that clear. And there's a very cool mechanism behind why people think about seed oils as being inflammatory, and we'll get into that. I'm very excited. We're going to geek out a bit for a little while.
Nerd out, folks, because this is the deep dive with
this
Doc Rocks. That's
dive.
What I'm going to call this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that at the top of the show. Like, we're going to give you a little bit more than you usually get. This is not surface level entertainment, folks. This is deep, deep. Dives here with Doc Rocks.
Yeah, so get out your pens and paper. We're going to make some notes and have some fun.
Class is in session. The professor is here. All right, so I want to talk to you about this other thing. When you flip through the TikToks, you go on the Instagrams and you look at all these nutrition reels, a lot of people are using the I word when it comes to seed oils. Inflammatory. What is it about these things that make them so inflammatory? Because again, I could eat a sunflower seed, probably not going to have an inflammatory response to the level that sunflower oil would. Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think WebMD has been replaced with Dr. Instagram and Dr. TikTok. I think there was a survey recently that showed around 70% of people are getting their health and nutrition information from social media. So that's why it's so important to speak about the science and, you know, see what it actually says and not just use these buzzwords like inflammatory and toxic and garbage. Gets a lot of attention, but we're not really getting to the truth when people use these words.
Yeah.
But in terms of why so many people are saying that it's inflammatory, I think honestly, half the time, I think people don't even know why they're saying it. I think they hear some prominent influencer say that seed oils are inflammatory. They jump on this bandwagon and they just continue to promote this idea that seed oils are inflammatory. And it does get a lot of clicks. It does get a lot of attention, right?
Yeah.
If you think about two people who are sharing information about seed oils, one, can I do an example? Let me actually look at the camera. Let me look at the camera and do example.
Right there. Look at the red. There we go. Camera number three.
All right. So let's compare two social media videos that you could see. The first one is something like, "Hey guys, it's Dr. Roxy Becker, medical doctor and clinical researcher. And I know there's a lot of questions about seed oils. If we take a look at the research, you know, there was this amazing meta-analysis. It looked at people who ate seed oils versus people who didn't eat seed oils, controlled for their weight and their income. And it found that the people who ate the most seed oils, there wasn't an effect on inflammation in their body. So seed oils really are not that harmful. And that's what the science shows." Right? Compare that to something like, I wish I had a prop. Imagine I'm holding like a carton of oat milk.
There you go.
All right.
That's your magical oat milk.
Imagine this is my oat milk. All right. Are you a woman in her 30s who is struggling to lose weight and you drink oat milk every day in your coffee? This is why you're struggling to lose weight. Let's look at the ingredient list. We have water, oats, third ingredient, seed oils. When you eat these seed oils, they are causing inflammation in your body. Seed oils used to be used as an industrial lubricant, so why are you putting that in your body? These seed oils are making it difficult for you to lose weight. If you cut out this, you're gonna lose your weight. Throw it in the trash. Oat milk, absolute garbage, not a health food. Rather use full cream milk, so much better for you and it's natural. Right, which one do you think is going to get more clicks?
Oh, I'm totally clicking the second one, even though like my spidey senses were tingling the whole time.
Were
I'm
they
like,
tingling?
That's just total BS. But okay, yeah. But yeah, it's all about the presentation.
It
it's
is.
All about the showmanship. I completely understand that.
And if you're telling someone that this one fruit is causing inflammation. It's harmful. It's dangerous. People are like, oh, okay, I better pay attention. I want to be healthy. Uh-huh. You're going to listen to that. Someone's like, okay, here's a research study that showed XYZ. I think people's minds kind of tune off. So I don't think a lot of people actually understand why they're saying that seed oils are inflammatory, but they do it largely for the clicks and the interactions and the likes and stuff.
It's so funny. I mean, the internet is such the Wild West, Doc. I mean, like, and it reminds me of something that somebody close to me actually sent me last night asking, is this true? Could I verify? Could you ask your doctor friends? And I'm not even going to identify what the thing was, but it had to do with a specific food and all kinds of issues that come with it. And I was like, well, who is this person? And they're a friggin' hairdresser. No offense. Hairdressers are wonderful. I love the guy that does my hair. Fantastic human being. I would talk to him about sports all day. I wouldn't necessarily take nutrition advice from him. And yet, this post had been shared hundreds of times to the point where somebody in my life was asking me if it's credible. Yeah. And it's just like, well, how are we supposed to discern the truth? And it's kind of like the presentation that you just did. It was worded very well. I mean, it was catchy and creative and clever and all of those words, but damn if it wasn't just a bunch of lies.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine me telling someone how to cut their hair? I mean, no offense.
No, I think that you got a fine head of hair on you.
Yeah, because I don't cut my own hair. I leave it to the experts, you know? Mm.
That's a pro tip. You're only going to get here on the exam room.
Yeah. Listen, I did try cut it once. Ended up as an absolute disaster. So leave the haircuts to the hairdresser.
Picture or it didn't happen.
I think the fringe was going the wrong direction. It was a mess. So
maybe we can edit that in and post. I don't know.
I'll see if I can find a picture.
Yeah.
That would actually be really funny. But there is actually a mechanism behind why a lot of people who actually read the science, I guess, believe that seed oils are inflammatory. Mm. So seed oils are very high in an omega-6 fatty acid called linoleic acid. All right, that's different from ALA, which is the omega-3 found in plant-based foods. We're not talking about the same thing. This is an omega-6 fatty acid.
Right.
All right, so seed oils, very high in linoleic acid. In your body, this linoleic acid gets converted to another saturated fat called arachidonic acid. You don't have to remember the names. It's exciting to me. It's probably not exciting to other people. But linoleic acid gets converted into arachidonic acid in our bodies. And then arachidonic acid is a precursor for inflammatory messenger molecules. What does that mean? If you have a cold or you cut yourself or you break your bone or, I don't know, you have some kind of infection, this arachidonic acid then gets converted into all these little messenger molecules that signal to your immune system, hey, we got an issue here. Bring all the immune cells. We need to fight this, you know, infection right now. So it's very important. People automatically assume that if you then eat more linoleic acid, it automatically gets pushed down this conveyor belt and results in more of these inflammatory messenger molecules turning on your immune system. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it doesn't exactly work like that. So there is an enzyme that controls this conversion from linoleic acid to arachidonic acid. And that's the rate limiting step. So if you imagine a stadium, let's say the Eras Tour, because that was really popular recently. Oh, I didn't go.
We got a Swiftie.
I didn't go, but imagine the Eras Tour. You got a stadium. You have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of these massive fans all trying to crowd into the stadium, but you only have one door and one security officer that's scanning tickets. Mm. It doesn't matter how many people or how desperate they are to get inside, the number of people that get inside the stadium are controlled by that security guard. So just like that, in our bodies, the conversion of this linoleic acid, this omega-6 fatty acid that we find in seed oils, the rate at which this gets converted to arachidonic acid is dependent on the single enzyme. And let me tell you, this enzyme is kind of lazy. It's like the sloth of enzymes. It's not very active. It doesn't do that much. And so you actually, when you eat a lot of linoleic acid, it actually doesn't get pushed down this conveyor belt. And there was this massive systematic review, which is a big study that looks at all the studies that have been done on a certain topic. And it found that whether people reduced the amount of linoleic acid they ate by 90% or they increased it by 550%,
that's a pretty big swing. That's a huge spectrum.
Yeah. There was no difference in the tissue levels of arachidonic acid in their body because it just doesn't get converted. And so it's a great mechanism. Very fun to learn about, very cool, sounds very logical. But when you actually look at how the human body handles seed oils and this linoleic acid, actually doesn't work that way.
Arachidonic, though, that's
sounds like a spider.
I'm picturing like a spider just like coursing through my veins. I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy, man.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So that to me like kind of like debunks a lot of what Miss Oatmilk was talking about right there.
Already.
Yeah. So how many studies have been done on this? Are there some like big time studies that you feel just aren't being talked about?
Oh, of course. We have human studies done on every single type of seed oil. And, you know, either we can link them in the show notes or we can have names flash on the screen or something so that people can dive into these studies if they want to. But essentially, we have studies for every single type of seed oil that looks at inflammatory markers in people, right? So mechanisms are super fun to talk about. If it doesn't impact a human's health, right? Doesn't really mean that much to me. I don't really care about that. I want to know how is it going to impact your health and my health and the health of everyone else that's listening to this, right? That's what's important, the human outcomes. So if we take, for example, linseed oil is flaxseed oil. Mm-hmm. So little flaxseeds. There was a meta-analysis. Now, meta-analysis is a type of study that looks at a very specific research question. So does consuming flaxseed oil increase inflammatory markers in the blood? So you take a very specific question, you find all of the research that's been done on that topic, you pull all of these results together, and some fancy software that I don't know how to work spits out an average, right? So it's great to get an overall picture to see how it affects different people from different continents or countries. You're getting a lot more, right? Because you can now look at thousands of people instead of a small clinical trial. So it's great to get an overall picture. And it actually found that when people consumed flaxseed oil, their markers of interleukin-6, which is a type of inflammatory molecule in the blood, actually decreased, right? So it actually improved inflammation. Now this is, it's thought to be because flaxseed oil is higher in omega-3s than a lot of other vegetable oils or seed oils. So that could partially explain this relationship.
Right.
But we also have research on canola oil, on safflower oil, on sunflower oil, and all of these show either a neutral, so no effect, it doesn't change inflammatory markers, or a beneficial or protective effect.
I can see like people's heads exploding like right now.
I know. I feel like I might lose some friends during this. Like people might be quivering or shaking in their seats listening to this.
Leave your comments below, everybody.
Yeah. Right down below. I hope I'll be invited back. And I know a lot of people also talk about refined oils, so oils that have been heat treated. And even in that, so there was one study where they gave people either refined sunflower oil, so heated sunflower oil, popped it into these little capsules, or a placebo, to have twice a day. And again, even refined oil, consuming it twice a day, no effect on inflammation. Safflower oil is the highest in linoleic acid. It's around 70 to 80% of this omega-6 fatty acid that's so inflammatory.
Yeah.
And when people consume safflower oil, doesn't affect their markers of inflammation.
So this, like, it actually does kind of surprise me to hear you say that, because when I think about oil, I think about caloric density, I think about a lot of fat, and obviously, you know, the more fat somebody has on them, adipose tissue, typically the more inflamed the person's body is. But what you're saying here is what the research is showing is that the correlation between obesity and inflammation is not going to be coming from the oils in particular. Is that kind of what we're surmising here?
Yeah, so exactly. So obesity is associated with chronic inflammation.
Yeah.
That is very important.
Yeah.
And that's more from consuming more calories than you need and gaining weight. It's not specifically about the seed oils. Now, if you're, you know, drinking a cup of sunflower seed oil a day and you're eating a lot of other calories and you're gaining weight, probably going to increase, you know, the inflammation in your body. But if you're just consuming, if you're a normal weight, you're consuming seed oils as part of your diet, it doesn't seem to be the seed oils that are causing inflammation.
That said, even though most, as you said, have a neutral or so effect, I mean, is it possible to even rank them, like canola's the worst or canola's the best or whatever. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's going to be a huge difference between, you know, first place and last place on this list, but I'm just curious because I'm sure somebody's going to ask.
Yeah. So linseed is technically considered the best linseed oil, right? Okay. Linseed oil is around 15% linoleic acid, a lot more omega-3s. So that's considered the best. Canola oil is around 20% of linoleic acid. Getting to things like soybean and corn oil would be considered worse. They're around 50% of their content is linoleic acid. And then getting towards the worst is safflower oil, and that's around 70 to 80%. But again, if you look at the human outcomes and we measure markers of inflammation in the blood, doesn't seem to cause inflammation.
How long were these studies? You know, where are they? 2 month, 3 month, 2 week?
Yeah.
You know, is it possible that, you know, the inflammation accrues over time and it's a little bit worse the further out you look? Or like, are we really just seeing just flat no matter how long they've been taking the oil?
Yeah. So that's a great question, right? Because time and dose matter.
Yeah.
Dose over time matters. So I'm really glad you brought that up. A lot of these trials were short term, so a couple of weeks, a couple of months. But we also have long term data on people who consume more linoleic acid found in seed oils. For example, the UK Biobank study. So it's a study done in UK, the UK. They use genetic data as well. So they found that even in people who are genetically predisposed to have higher levels of linoleic acid in their body, they had improved lower rates of dying, lower rates of cardiovascular disease. There was another great Cochrane review that was published in 2020, I believe, and it found that when you replace saturated fats with polyunsaturated fats that come largely from vegetable oils, again, the rates of cardiovascular disease, dying from cardiovascular disease were reduced. So polyunsaturated fats from these vegetable oils appeared to have a protective effect, right? So this is not only looking at acute markers of inflammation or cholesterol, this is looking at hard clinical outcomes, right?
Yeah.
What is my risk of getting heart disease? What is my risk of dying? And it shows that when people, you know, replace saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat, tends to be more protective, even if that unsaturated fat is coming from vegetable oils. So I think an important thing here to note is whenever you're talking about something in nutrition, right, there's a lot of nuance.
Yeah.
And a lot of nuance gets lost in these 20, 30 second quick reels that you're scrolling by, right? You're not getting all the detail. So whenever you're looking at nutrients or certain types of foods, it's always important to look at the context and to also look at what are we replacing this with, or, you know, what are you using it instead of, right?
Yeah.
So if you're replacing saturated fat like butter, ghee, lard with vegetable oils for cooking, that, from the best research we have at the moment, is going to improve your health. If you leave out the vegetable oils and instead you're having, you know, the whole flax seeds or the sunflower seeds or the sesame seeds, right, might be even better for you because then you're getting the fiber, you're getting a lot of nutrients that you don't get when you're having the oils. So it's important to consider what am I replacing this with, and also the context of an overall diet, right? So if the seed oils that you're getting are from French fries and, you know, ultra processed foods that are high in sugar and sodium and calories, if you're getting seed oils in those foods, I mean, probably not going to improve your health, right? I think we can all agree on that. But if you are someone who is struggling to eat more fruits and vegetables and tofu, and frying your tofu in a little bit of oil to get it crispy, or having a salad dressing that has a bit of sunflower oil, and that helps you to eat more vegetables and more salad and more tofu and more beans, you know, the overall quality of your diet is going to improve. So in that case, might be better to have a little bit of seed oils in your diet if it's going to help to improve the overall quality of your diet.
Gotcha.
A lot of people in the SOS-free community, salt, oil, sugar-free community, right? They do not include oils at all. Absolutely no problem. I don't want people to take away from this video that you should be adding canola oil to your diet.
I'm not trying
to say that.
Right.
I'm trying to say that it's better than alternatives like saturated fat products.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say that people who make these broad claims of seed oils are inflammatory, they're toxic, they're not looking at science.
Right.
And the other issue with that, online, if you look at the types of people that are saying that seed oils are inflammatory, it's often the same people that are saying that saturated fat is not harmful for you. Mm. Eat as much meat as you like. So this has kind of become a litmus test in the online social media. If people say seed oils are automatically inflammatory and toxic garbage, don't eat them at all, it's kind of, it shows that they don't really look at evidence and they don't really read the research. If people take a more nuanced approach, it's generally a better indicator that they're more evidence-based.
A lot of what you just said there reminds me of something that I see talked about on these reels so often, and that's the Minnesota coronary study.
Mm.
Yeah, and I feel like we kind of covered that, man, but I mean, that's a buzzy thing when you talk about oils, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Talk to us about that. For right. those who aren't familiar, break it down for
us. Yeah, so you'll see this a lot on people who promote the carnivore diet. This is one of the main studies that they like to bring up, is the Minnesota Coronary Experiment, Coronary Trial, Coronary Study. And they say that this is the largest randomized control trial that looked at vegetable oils versus, you know, saturated fat from animal foods. Mm. Sounds very exciting, right? Your spidey sense is tingling yet? So they took around 9,500 people back in the 1960s who were institutionalized. Always get that word fuzzled in my mouth. Institutionalized for mental illness. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they took 9,500 people. They randomized these people that were in these institutions for mental.
I just have an ethical question about this. Like,
you have an ethical question? Let me give you another ethical question. These people didn't sign consent forms back in the day. There wasn't even an informed consent form for the study. They were just like, I mean, it's the diet. They're eating these foods anyway. We can just change it up. And, you know, if they say they don't want to eat the food, that's fine. But we're not going to make you sign a consent form.
Uh-huh.
Kind of sketchy already.
A little bit.
Well, your spidey senses are tingling.
Not just tingling, man. They're inflamed right now. Yeah.
Not from seed oils.
No, of course not. Of course not.
All right. So they took 9,500 people institutionalized for mental illness, randomized them in the dining halls, and they said half of you will get your food made with vegetable oils. I believe they used corn oil in this one.
Mm.
And half of you will, you know, your food will be made with butter and lard and saturated fat. We won't give you the vegetable oils. A year into the study, more than 75% of the people included had been discharged from the hospital. So they weren't included in the study anymore.
Mm.
Because in 1960 in America, this was done in Minnesota, in 1960 in America, there was this big act that was passed to try and deinstitutionalize mental illness. So instead of locking you up in asylums and psych wards, we're going to try and manage you at home, you know? So most of the people left the study. Now, I can't think of a single clinical trial today that loses 75% of their participants and still publishes their data or has meaningful results.
Yeah.
That's not even the worst, right? So this was done back in the day in the 60s. A lot of the original results, baseline data, autopsy reports have been lost. We don't have them. Over 350 autopsy reports are missing. A lot of the baseline data, a lot of the results are missing. So even when you read the results of the study, they see that people who got the vegetable oils, even though they had a lower LDL cholesterol, they tended to have a higher risk of dying. But even when you read the study, it says they trended towards having a higher risk of dying, but we also can't show that this is statistically significant because we don't have all the data. We don't have all the autopsy reports. So this is, to be honest, in my opinion, one of the worst clinical trials on the subject, but people jump on 9,500 participants, biggest, you know, randomized control trial ever. Let's promote this. We've got missing data. Half, you know, 75% of the people dropped out. What the results weren't even statistically significant. Terrible study, but this is what's being promoted.
Mm.
That's
mind blowing to me that anybody would hang their hat on something
right?
like that. That's crazy. And I think that with that particular population and maybe some of the medications that they were taking, like that would kind of like manipulate the data somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
right?
there's just, yeah.
It's I mean, crazy.
Come on,
it doesn't
man.
Even sound like a real study.
No.
The other issue is that back in the 60s, 70s, even into the early 2000s, a lot of margarines, like the one, or margarine, how do you say it here?
Margarine.
Margarine.
Well, you say margarine, own yourself.
Well, yeah, we say
self.
Margarine.
Yeah.
Margarine.
Well, no, I think margarine sounds much fancier.
It does sound fancier,
margarine.
Right?
Margarine.
Yeah.
Margarine.
Margarine.
Yeah.
A lot of the margarines in up until the early 2000s contained trans fats.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It was only in 2016 when the FDA said you're not allowed to include trans fats in your food products anymore. Mm-hmm. So these margarines that they were feeding people, I can't laugh because now I keep thinking about margarine. These margarines contain trans fats. They didn't even know about how harmful trans fats were back in the day. So they didn't look at this. They didn't make note of it. They didn't make note of the rest of the dietary quality, right? We know that fiber plays a role in cholesterol levels. You know, carbohydrate quality, fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, all of these impact cholesterol and heart disease risk. And so these days we look at those other factors and we factor them in when we're, you know, looking at our results. Back then that didn't even include any of that. So you got a bunch of people eating margarine with trans fats, you lose half, more than half of your study population, lose half the data, but now this is the evidence that people are putting forward as evidence that vegetable oils are bad for you and, you know, increase your risk of dying. Meanwhile, the American Heart Association came out with a great analysis in 2017, and they determined the four most rigorously conducted randomized control trials on this topic. And they had very strict criteria. Mm-hmm. So I hope you're already feeling a little bit better about this.
Bring it on.
It was, you know, they looked at trans fats. They controlled for that. The studies had to be at least 2 years in duration because we know that when you look at, you know, heart attacks, that lags. You can't do an 8-week study and say something reduces your risk of a heart attack because it lags.
Right.
They tightly controlled the diet. So again, these were people living in institutions where they were consented this time. They were consented.
Good.
I feel very good about that. Right. I can't imagine doing a study without consent. but they lived in institutions, so their diet was tightly controlled. Yeah. They were fed the foods. It wasn't, they weren't free living, so you can eat whatever you want, report whatever you want. And when they looked at four of these very high quality clinical trials, they found that seed oils did not increase the risk of dying or heart disease or LDL cholesterol and were actually protective.
I'm noticing a theme here with the seed oils. That said, I don't want anybody watching or listening to this right now to think that it's a green light to just dump, you know, a gallon of it on top of their salad, right? That's totally
we're not trying to say that.
No. We're just laying out the facts as they are.
Yeah.
And that's our job, and you take with the data and do with it as you wish.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you really quickly here about a couple other kinds of fat. Saturated fat versus polyunsaturated fat. You think bottom line is, you know, is it better just to replace all of that saturated fat with the polyunsaturated fat and we'd be better off?
Yeah. So as long as your total saturated fat is less than around 8 to 10% of your total calories, we seem to be good.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
The way to keep saturated fat low, avoid animal products, avoid ultra-processed foods, focus on more plant-based sources of fat like your avocados and your nuts and your seeds, and automatically you are basically keeping your saturated fat levels low. So as long as the saturated fat is kept low, you're avoiding trans fats and you're getting your fats from plants. If you want to include a bit of seed oil, it's not going to be the end of the world. If you want to go even a step further and get your fats from the whole foods, the nuts and seeds and olives themselves, I think you're going to be even better for that, because they come with the extra fiber and the extra nutrients and polyphenols and antioxidants that gets lost during that oil extracting process.
Yeah.
But don't be so scared of something containing a seed oil, because that's just not based in science.
Yeah, but what about those people who say, well, I stopped eating seed oils altogether and my health improved? What would your message be to that person?
Amazing. Amazing. Great.
Okay.
Great. Oh, knocked the table again. I would say that's amazing. I'm really happy that that worked for them. If it works for you, perfect. Continue doing that. Again, I'm not saying people should be eating seed oils.
Right.
I'm just trying to show what the evidence shows. If people do better on an SRS-free diet, perfect. Stay that way. If that's what works for you, that's amazing. Again, a lot of people are getting seed oils from ultra-processed foods, right? A lot of Cheerios and donuts and cakes and all sorts of things. So if you cut those foods out of your diet, you're automatically going to feel better and improve your health. Whether it was the seed oils or not, I don't know. But if you cut it out and it works for you, amazing. There has been huge success for low-fat plant-based diets, which eliminate seed oils. Physicians Committee has done a lot of research on that, especially for diabetes, for weight loss. These seed oils are very calorically dense, so you cut them out, you're probably going to lose weight.
Yep.
Low-fat plant-based diets work amazingly for improving diabetes, glycemic control. So in someone who has diabetes, who has had a heart attack, who is looking to lose some weight, cutting out seed oils might be more beneficial for them. Someone who feels better without them, amazing. Keep doing that. Always focus on whole foods. Make sure your plate is filled with your grains, your beans, your fruits, your vegetables. And do a little experiment. Maybe you do better without it. Cut out all seed oils or all oil for, 4 weeks. See how your blood sugar improves. See how your weight changes. And if it works for you, then keep it out.
Have you done that yourself? Done like SOS free for a time?
Oh, I haven't. Hardcore? Oh, no, yeah. I haven't yet. Yeah. You're exposing me.
You should try. No, I'm not trying to expose anybody. I think, it's important to be real. Like, I do not eat a 100% SOS free diet.
Yeah, that's very true.
I still like to think that my diet is way better than the standard American diet.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. That said, compared to what I had been eating back in the day, way less
miles
salt,
better.
Way less sugar, way less oil. All of that stuff is gone. All right.
I remember in that that hospital fast food and hospital episodes we did, we took a look at what you ate, didn't we? We mentioned some of the foods that you ate. I mean, it was crazy. So what you're eating now is definitely much better, right? I use a little bit of olive oil every now and then.
Yeah.
It works for me at the moment.
A little bit. We're not talking about dumping the whole thing on there.
Yeah.
Right?
And of course, always check, right? Test.
Yeah.
Check your cholesterol. I've done that. My cholesterol is phenomenal. What I'm doing is working. Plant-based diet is working for me. Vegan diet, I've been vegan for nearly 11 years. 18th of February, it'll be 11 years. And my cholesterol, my physician was so impressed. I can't remember what it was now. I think my total was around 80. My LDL was around 45 or something.
Your total cholesterol was at 80?
I think it was. I can't remember the exact number. It was definitely below 100.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 103 was my total, my lowest. And my doctor was like, this is one of the lowest I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, cool.
My physician was like, what are you doing?
For real.
I was like, let me tell you about a plant-based diet.
That's cool, though, that you remember, like, your vegan anniversary. Like, I cannot remember. I know it was sometime in the summer, but I don't remember the exact date.
I think it was because I went cold turkey, if I can say that.
Whatever.
That's not a vegan term, but
whatever.
I went cold turkey. So I just remembered that day
Was it, like, a spur-of-the-moment decision, or was it like, okay, a week from now I'm going to do this, and you had that date circled on the calendar?
So I think I've spoken about my whole story in the first episode we did, that top studies of 2023 video. So I told my whole story. If you want to listen to it, it's there. But essentially, I went down the rabbit hole of the ethics of animal farming, decided to go vegetarian overnight, again, cold turkey, went to the kitchen, took out all the chicken from the freezer, threw it away, the bolognese. I didn't even want to give it to anyone. I was just like, I don't want this anywhere near me. Went vegetarian for 3 months. And then one morning I was eating my egg on toast for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to put on the same documentary that I'd initially watched and saw, the realities of the dairy and the egg industries. While I finished my last bite of egg, toast, I was like, this is the last egg I'm eating.
Mm.
So again, went to the kitchen, cleared out everything. I was like, I'm going to give this a try, see a month, 3 months. If I'm still alive and I haven't died of a protein deficiency, I'll see if I want to carry this on. And that was 11 years ago, and I've never looked back.
What'd you do with the eggs? Like, because I would have opened the window and just, like, chucked it at people.
Pelted them.
Like, yeah. So, like, I totally
kept them for Halloween and just rotten eggs.
For real. Like, stay off my lawn, kid.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time, so let's swim to the top here on this deep dive. Bottom line, what is the take-home message that you want people to have here when it comes to seed oils?
Yeah. So I would say if someone is proclaiming that seed oils are inflammatory and they're not explaining the research behind it or anything, be very wary of what else they're saying, right? Like we said, it's a bit of a litmus test. If you're saying they're inflammatory, you're not really looking at the science, you know. We often want research to confirm our biases. I was never an activist for seed oils, you know. I'd never wanted to be an activist for seed oils, but it's the spread of misinformation that got me to do this dive for myself.
Yeah.
So I'd say be careful of people online who are promoting, you know, using a lot of buzzwords and promoting these ideas that one food is killing you, it's toxic, it's inflammatory. Remember to always look at the science. And then to also, you know, do your own experiments. If you do better without seed oils or any oil, that's amazing. If you want to keep a little bit and it helps you to stick to an otherwise healthy diet, and that, you know, that's what keeps you eating your beans and everything, probably going to be better in the long run.
Right on.
Yeah.
Doc rocks. Appreciate you. This was fun. You're definitely coming back. You're definitely coming back. You're
all
fun
right,
to play
let's
with.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
You know, I wish you could have been there for this episode when we recorded it. It was too much fun. You know, my mom, she used to say, there ought to be a law against having fun like that. And maybe mom was right. I mean, slap the cuffs on us. We were just having a grand old time. And we're going to have more fun with Doc Rocks in the near future as we zero in on social media red flags. You know what we're talking about. How to decipher what's fact and fiction in an ocean of catchy videos. How can you tell the real deal from a real pile of you know what. So looking forward to chatting more with Doc Rocks, and definitely keep an eye on her. She's going to be a superstar in the health arena. Now, as for today's conversation, has your mind changed about seed oils? I know I was honestly surprised to hear some of what she had to say, but the facts are what the facts are. And for me, the fact still remains that to maintain this weight loss, I'm simply not really interested in indulging or overindulging in something that is high in fat and calorically dense. Period. Hard stop. End of story. And since obesity is tied to so many preventable chronic diseases and inflammation, I'm not interested in being obese again. So I'm going to do everything in my power to stay healthy, including eating a low-fat, nutrient-dense, plant-based diet. And that is the caveat. That is the caveat. As you are weighing your pros and cons, the decision is 100% up to you as to whether or not you want to include seed oil in your diet. It is your decision. And also a decision that is 100% up to you is whether or not to become a Food for Life instructor. Right now is your one and only opportunity to join our growing team of plant-based advocates improving health in their communities in 2025. This is it for the entire year, right now. And the Food for Life Instructor Training Program, it offers an excellent small business opportunity for those of us who are enthusiastic about health and wellness and preventing all of these diseases, and they want to share their passion with others. Why else would you be listening to this show? This training, the Food for Life Instructor Training, can also be accessed by organizations with a nutrition or health focus who are looking for an established and credible plant-based nutrition education program to offer their customers or employees. And therein lies the business part of this. So there is a link for you to apply to join our team of Food for Life instructors here at the Physicians Committee at fftraining.org. That's fftraining.org, or click the link in the episode notes. Applications must be in by February 7th, my friends. fftraining.org before February 7th. And you can help us grow healthier too, not just your community, but really have an impact on the entire world by helping to boost these shows' ratings. The Exam Room needs your help. Just by following or subscribing on Apple Podcast or on Spotify and leaving a 5-star rating, that helps us get the show in front of as many eyes and ears as possible. And with the growing rates of disease out there, we know that there is a lot of people who could use this potentially life-saving information. So take a moment, please head over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your shows. Follow, subscribe, leave that 5-star rating, and in a review, let us know what you like about the show and how a plant-based diet has improved your health. And for today, that is going to wrap things up. I want to say thank you one more time to Doc Rocks, my partner in fun crime today. That was a ton of fun. Can't wait to have you back, Dr. Becker. So much fun. Thanks for being here as we continue to raise our health IQs. And for everyone at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.